Carolina, my dwelling place, and Christ, my salvation. We have many states, as well as at least a couple of countries represented. And you know, where we are from is not half as important as where we're going, is it? It's good to know we're on our way home. It's wonderful to be able to say, Christ is my salvation. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree, The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. When we come to the study of this songbook of the Old Testament Scriptures, I think we should keep at least three things in mind. First of all, what is the primary association? What is this particular portion saying? What is it teaching? And we are to consider the primary association. We are to study the setting of the text, and we are to look up and consider all of the circumstances related to it. What is the primary association? Not only so, what is the prophetic anticipation? Many of these psalms speak of the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, in this instance, the King. And many of these psalms speak about the future. We look back and we think of the many scriptures that have been fulfilled, but we know that many are yet to be fulfilled, and all of these will find their fulfillment in God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the primary association? What is the prophetic anticipation? And what is the personal application? Each one of us can learn from this songbook. And so we are to keep these three things in mind. I believe it was Brother T. Ernest Wilson who pointed out that Psalms 1 and 2 are linked together in the Hebrew Bible. Psalm 1 begins with a beatitude, and Psalm 2 ends with a beatitude. In Psalm 2, and this is one of the messianic psalms since it has to do with God's Son, we find four official messianic titles in this short psalm, and we find these titles in the four different divisions of this short psalm. In verse 2, we read of His, God's, anointed. We pointed out that this is the word Messiah, the Greek equivalent being the Christ. And so here is one of His official titles, the Anointed. In verse 6, we read of Him as God's King, my King. When we come to verse 7, it is my Son. And then when we come down to verse 11, it is the Lord. In these 12 verses, we have four divisions. from verses 1 through 3, God the Father describes the situation. And in light of the situation that is described by God in the first three verses, then we have the voice of God as He gives a declaration in verses 4 through 6. And in view of God's declaration, then the Son of God issues a decree in verses 7 through 9. When we come to the last three verses, the Holy Spirit of God presents an appeal. God the Father tells us what He sees as He looks down upon the nations of the world. The nations are raging, and in view of what He sees, He makes this declaration. And then the Son, in view of God the Father's declaration, gives His decree, and then the Holy Spirit of God, in view of what the Father and the Son have said, He makes His appeal. Let's consider first of all these first three verses as we think of the voice of the world. Why do the heathen rage? Now, the word heathen means the nations, those, all of those other than the nation of Israel. And while the psalm is introduced in the form of a question, God is not asking a question, but rather He is making a statement. It's a declarative statement. God is not asking, do the heathen rage? As He looks down, He sees that the heathen are raging, and in view of their raging, He states the situation. Now, this word raging here indicates a tempestuous, storm-tossed situation. Now, that's the way it is with the nations. God has said, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Why are the heathen raging? They are raging because of sin. But we go further than that, and we realize that the heathen are raging because they do not want to be subject to God. They do not want to be bound by God's rule of authority. They do not want the authority of God's Son over them. And so they are raging because they do not want God's King. Now, we're thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ as the King of Kings, in these messages. And so as God looks down upon the scene, the heathen are raging because they do not want God's King. In Haggai chapter 2 and verse 7, and I jotted some of these verses down to quote them, so I'll not wear you out having you to turn to so many of them. But in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 7, we read where God says, and I will shake all nations. And keep that word shake in mind, please. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, there are some who say that these words, the desire of all nations, are a title for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm inclined to disagree with that. He is desired by some from all nations, and even as we've been singing tonight, we know there is coming a day when there will be those gathered from all nations around Himself, the wounded Lamb, in Revelation chapter 5. And we will give to Him worship. He's the worship Lamb, because He is the worthy Lamb. But while He is desired by some people from all nations, I do not believe that these words in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 7 are a title for the Lord Jesus Christ, the desire of all nations. I believe God is speaking about those conditions that all nations desire. You see, the world desires peaceful conditions. The nations of the world desire millennial conditions. Now, they might not put it that way, but that's the bottom line. That's what they desire. But I believe that the nations of the world desire millennial conditions. They desire peaceful conditions so that they can indulge in sin without any consequences. Now, that they will never have. Because there will be no peaceful conditions upon this earth apart from the Prince of Peace. But the nations desire such conditions. And I believe that's what is referred to in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 7, the desire of all nations. Now, God's king, and we pointed out last night that the wise men came, and as we read it in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" How can such a thing be that one would be born king? Because, as we stated, he is the king eternal. And here we read of this king, this eternal king, God's king, who is rejected by the nations of the world. When this Blessed One came, he was rejected. He was born king of the Jews. He died king of the Jews. And the cry of the people of the nation of Israel was, "We have no king but Caesar." We have no king. God is saying in Psalm 2, "Yes, you do. Yes, you do." They said, "We have no king but Caesar." Turn, please, to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. These early Christians were threatened not to speak or preach anymore in this man's name. Verse 23 of Acts chapter 4, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David." Now this proves to us that David wrote Psalm 2. "Who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together." Now, we don't read of Israel in Psalm 2, but they are brought in here in Acts chapter 4. And so the heathen are raging, and in Acts chapter 4 includes Israel, all nations as such, raging and rejecting God's anointed. Now, we said the word anointed applies to the prophet, the priest, and the king. And the Lord Jesus Christ is all three. As prophet, he came to reveal. As priest, he came to redeem. As king, he's going to come to rule and reign upon this earth. But I believe that these words in Psalm 2 find their fulfillment not only in the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was crucified, but I believe the time involved in Psalm 2 goes right on through to the end of the tribulation period, or Daniel's 70th week, at the end of which time God's king, God's son, is going to come from heaven, and he's going to judge the nations of this world. He's going to bring their kingdoms to naught, and he's going to set up his kingdom upon this earth, and the throne of David, the kingdom of David, will be established forever. But the heathen are raging, and they are rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Psalm 2 is quoted several other times in the New Testament scriptures. We won't take time to look at them now. But we see in Acts chapter 4 and verse 28 that God allowed them to go only so far. These ones were together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Peter preached in, as we have it in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, and he said that Jesus was taken by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And then he said to his Jewish brothers, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Yes, they were against God and against God's anointed, and they took God's son, they rejected him, they mocked him, they ridiculed him, and they nailed him to that tree, and they did their worst, and God allowed them to go that far, and he said no further. From then on, God took over and saw that that body was buried according to Scripture, and the third day God raised that body from the dead. So, in the first three verses, God states the situation. And in these three verses, we have the voice of the world. If I said earlier the voice of God, I should have said the voice of the world. Here we have the voice of the world. Why do the heathen rage? And they are raging like the storm-tossed sea without any peace. And all the time they are saying, we'll not have this man to reign over us. But then we come to the next division, verses 4 through 6. And now we have God the Father speaking. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision, then he shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. It's as if God is saying, you kings, you rulers of the world, stop what you're doing. Put your pens down. Stop your talking. Be still. I want you to look in this direction. I want you to consider this one who is in my presence. I want you to look at my son. He's my king. Now you have made your resolutions, you have given your decrees, and you have done all of this without me and without my son. You have rejected me. You do not, nor do you intend to, equate what you are and what you do to me and to my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you desire peaceful conditions. You desire millennial conditions, but you're not going to have them without my son. Now, my son is my king, and he is going to rule and reign on the earth. And underscore that. He's going to reign on the earth. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6, we have these words. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In the earth. Note what God says in verse 6. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Now, where is that? It's there in Jerusalem. Now, this word Zion begins with a Z. It's found 150 times in the Bible. And not one time does it refer to any place except that place in Jerusalem, the holy hill of Zion. And God, after hearing the heathen rage, rejecting him and his son, now says, I want you to consider my son, my king, and he is going to sit upon that holy hill of Zion. He's going to rule and reign on the earth. You want peaceful conditions, but there is no peace apart from righteousness. When you go to Hebrews chapter 7, you read in verse 2 about Melchizedek, who was king of righteousness, and those words, and after that, king of Salem, or king of peace. You sometimes hear the Hebrew word shalom, which means peace in Hebrew. The word in the Arabic is